You're listening to Soulmates in Business, the podcast that helps purpose-driven couples to grow a successful business and thrive in their relationship. Join the community at soulmatesinbusiness.com. Now, please welcome your hosts, longtime married entrepreneurs, Sarah and Scott Butler.
Welcome to the Soulmates in Business podcast. I'm Sarah and this is Scott.
Hello.
And today's episode is we're going to talk about the difference between the conventional business model versus a couple business model. This is a really good episode to talk about for couples in business because you've probably been asked 100 times like we have, how on earth have you managed to run a business and stay happily together? And over the nearly 20 years of marriage and 13 years of business together, it hasn't always been roses and sunshine. We've actually learned
the hard way.
For sure. Because when you go into business together, you've got no idea how it's going to be and how you're going to relate to each other as business partners. And you automatically adopt this conventional business model, which doesn't actually work as a couple.
When you say conventional, you mean like a solo business owner?
Yeah, so it's someone who is either in partnership with someone else who you're not in a relationship with or a solo business.
Yeah.
So when you go into business together, you often adopt this sort of conventional model because you just, there's not really much of a framework out there for couples in business.
Yeah, a lot of the advice, I guess, out there is often about, how to run your business without actually considering if you're in a couple or not. It's just like you on your own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And running a business with your partner, it can be hard. It can be challenges that you will face at those conventional business owners who are not in that relationship won't really face. And so we're just going to talk about some key differences in how that conventional business model looks compared to that couple business model. It's really good to talk about this because once you grasp that there are differences and slight variations on how you run a business together, it actually becomes a little bit easier to work together because you feel like you're not rubbing against the wrong,
I guess a lot of business couples like have failed early on because probably they didn't adopt the things we're going to be talking about.
Because you can get easily frustrated.
Yeah, and it's just like, I'll just give up with it because it just doesn't work. But it does work. We can prove that.
Yeah. So let's talk about decision making, okay? Because that's obviously when you're in business, you have to make lots of decisions, big, small, risky, not so risky decisions. In the couple-based model, decision-making can be a lot slower because there's a lot more emotion involved.
When you're a solo business owner, it's just like you make the decision in your head or you get advice from other people, but you're the ultimate decision maker. Whereas when you're a couple, it's can be a much longer drawn-out process.
Yeah, it takes time, doesn't it? Sometimes it's trying to actually find quiet time together to actually process a decision, which often ends up in the home after work is done. So it's a lot slower to implement those decisions. And it can be hard to get a unified decision because sometimes there is lots of risk involved, whether that's financially or whatever it is. A lot can be at stake in your decisions. So there's definitely a lot more emotion involved as a couple in business when it comes to decision making. You're saying before, like with the conventional decision, conventional business, the decision can be a lot quicker. But if you have a business partner, they're more of a sounding board. There's less emotion involved and it's easier to probably make that time and timeframes to implement decisions. So let's share some examples of what we've learned around decision making.
One of the key things that we've learned over the years is there's certain things that only one person needs to decide. And like very early on in the business, we were getting bogged down so much with just the small decisions. And it'll be like, oh, we're in this business together, so we make this decision jointly. But once we started giving each other freedom to go, okay, well, this kind of decision is your expertise. You make the decision. You don't need me to make the decision. Just tell me when it's done, kind of thing, if we need to do that at all. Whereas when it comes to the bigger decisions, that's when you both need to be on board and you both need to work through those bigger decisions.
Yeah, I think with the decision making too, we've often found a sticky point is sometimes I'll have these gut feels and you're more logical with your decision. And it's definitely that feminine and masculine difference. When we've had to make a decision, sometimes I'm unable to give you a logical, reasonable answer as to why we should or shouldn't do it. It's often that gut feel of, oh, yep, that feels right. And sometimes you struggled with that because...
I always struggle with that.
You're learning to...
I have learned from you over the years that a gut feel is a valid point of view to come from in decision making.
And I've sometimes...
You've reminded me a lot about that over the years when I've made a decision logically and you told me that it wasn't right and it turns out not to be right. And you said, I told you so. But I was coming from the logical decision-making process, which I thought was the way to go.
Yeah, I think so. Your logic is great. Sometimes I need your logic. Sometimes I can be too feely and I actually need to talk through those feelings where I can get more of that practical, logical response from you. So it works both ways, but it is very satisfying when you turn around and say, you were right with your guts, because that makes me feel that I'm a bit more empowered in my decisions and that there is a lot of evidence and that bringing that gut feel is actually can be a really powerful thing. And we both need to tune into that. And I think it helps you sometimes tune into that as well.
Yeah. On the other hand, it's never a good idea to then blame the person for saying, I told you so. And then you end up being blamed and it doesn't help in the relationship, does it?
No, I think you have to come to that agreement with the final decision making, or either it's I release you to make this decision on their own and whatever the consequences, we'll deal that with that together.
It's about the support once that's been made, isn't it?
Yeah, and then just learning. So if we do make a decision together, that is
That's what we got to go with. We make that decision and then we support one another through the process once that decision's been made and executed. Yeah.
And if it fails, well, then we've learned from it. We don't go to that blame, like you said.
Oh, we have done.
We do. We have done that. Plenty of that.
But it doesn't work.
No.
The blame game never works in any situation.
No. So another topic to talk about and how there is a little bit of a difference from a couple business model to a conventional business model is boundaries. And when you're a couple in business, there are very blurry boundaries because you have your home life and you sleep together and you eat together and you do life together and you're raising kids together if you have them. And so there is a massive blur and really no definition on how family and business, there's no definitive line in the sand.
It's all encompassing. And I guess in the early days of the business, that's what it was for us, wasn't it? It was very... There was no boundaries. It was just all the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
And we've learned over the years that defining those boundaries makes, there's less stress in our relationship and in the home, isn't there?
Yeah. There's something some examples of that, I guess, would be good to share because we haven't, like you said, we haven't always been great with boundaries and work was talked a lot of in the home and we brought it home a lot. But I don't think that's necessarily bad because business is our dream. It's helping create our dream life. We're sharing it together. So there's certain things that we do like to talk about at home. It's not like we never do, but it gets to a point where there's actually certain things that you're bringing home that just don't feel right, that start to create tension or start to interfere in your time together.
Yeah, I think what we've learned is that you can have different modes of doing life. When you're in a business mode, you might be in a business mode, but your partner isn't. They might be like doing some other thing at home that they're just not ready to talk about business. And so I think what we've learned over the years is to actually, if we want to talk about something business related or even non-business related, whatever it might be, is to go to that person, then go, can I talk about this with you now? And then that person will let you know whether they prepare to talk about it at that moment. And if not, you just arrange another time to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes we're not always as good as asking the question. It might be, you know, I might come to you and I'll need a big brain dump of ideas and I'll start talking about things and you need to say...
I just, yeah, not so ready to I'm talk not, about I, that now.
Don't and, talk to me about it now.
And so, yeah, and then that will be like the, then there's the honouring after that of mm-hmm. respecting that other person and saying, okay, yeah, I know this is going to be dealt with, but it's not going to be dealt with now kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in that conventional business model, there's probably a lot more clearer boundaries in that if you're in a, say, for example, in a business partnership, maybe you're going to an office or you can actually just walk away.
You'll leave each other at the end of the day probably and go to your own home, won't
exactly,
you?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
So you don't come home and...
And, yeah, and have to talk about it.
So setting time limits is another good one. Because we bring work home a lot.
Well, we do. We've got a home office, so we are working from home, but we do have the set hours around that. And we proactively remind each other when you're sitting in front of a computer and not supposed to be, that kind of thing, don't we? We make sure we keep each other accountable to family and work responsibilities, don't we?
Yeah, it's time to get off. That's what I say. I can be stuck on the computer at night and you often pop your head in going, time to get off, come to bed.
Yeah.
So another big difference in a couple business model is communication styles, and you will speak differently to each other, like as you would to a conventional business model.
I mean, this is the hardest thing, isn't it? Like, even though we're business partners, we wouldn't probably speak to each other like other business partners who are not in a relationship. We always speak to each other like husband and wife, and I think that's something in a couples in business that will always be the case, won't it? It's never a time. It's almost impossible to start to relate to you as a business partner. It would just feel weird, wouldn't it?
I don't know. I think sometimes we fall into business partner mode quite easily but forget to get out of it when we get home.
Oh yeah, you could, yeah.
So it's hard.
I mean, it's one of those things. I think, like, I'd never see, if I had a business partner I wasn't in a relationship with, I'd never speak to them like I would my wife.
Yeah.
So it's...
Well, especially when staff are involved, like we found we have different communication styles. Like, we're so different. And so the team will have two bosses and there's no sort of defined role as who's the head boss or not. It's like we're both the boss and then we have different communication and management styles. And there has been times where staff can get confused because there is that he said or she said or I've made a decision and they've come back and said, well, actually, Sarah said this. And
it's actually better now because since we've moved away from the business, we're an hour and a half away from our office now. And Sarah's not around as much, the staff as much anymore. And so a lot of the instructions come from me, whereas it used to be with tag teams. So I'd be in the office and Sarah would be in the office and it would go like that. And so then I'd give an instruction and they'd say, oh, but Sarah told me to do this. And then I'd just feel really unprofessional by kind of going, oh, well, this
is... 'Cause then you're stuck. Do I override what I've said or...
Yeah. Or, and then it just... Just feels like we're not organized.
So with communication too, like it's funny when you're in business, when we're working together in the office together, you don't really want to be calling each other babe or honey or anything like that. Like you do need to switch into that business role in that we can be professional, which I think is important to adopt as a couple in business.
You just have to be very conscious of it.
Because we don't want to be bickering or arguing. Right. Like if we've come in after having an argument, for example, we have to be really careful of the energy that we bring and into the office if that's happened. And obviously being mindful that we're not calling each other that babe or bastard.
It's just that's a kind of a small thing, I reckon. But it's more the, if you're bringing that tension in. And I think for us personally, we've found that not actually being in the office at the same time does work for us.
It is probably better, isn't
it? Yeah.
And if we do need to speak to each other, like about something, we're quite good in stepping away from the team and just saying we need to have a chat. Like there'll be times where we've walked down to the end of the street away from the, and we've argued.
So we can shout at one another.
And then we walk back in the office, right?
Take
okay,
some deep where breaths, were we?
Yeah. And there's a lot more emotion involved, isn't there, in that communication? Because there is so much more, and you know each other, and it's easy to pick up on each other's self-sabotaging thoughts or annoying things that we do or limitations. Whereas if you were in that conventional, traditional business model, your roles are more defined and you'd communicate. You don't really know the backstory as deeply as you do about a person. Like when, you know, when you're in that model, you'd be, you wouldn't be calling out or communicating deeper into their soul like we do as a couple.
Yeah, it is. It is definitely, it is hard for staff, I'd imagine, when they do have two bosses. And I think though, like I just mentioned earlier about when, you know, as you're not in the office, the newer staff that we have now, do see me as the boss, and Sarah's seen more of
boss lady,
more of a mother, I think.
The mother of the business,
because she comes in every so often, and when they know she's coming in, they all tidy up for her and all this kind of stuff. So, but like on the day-to-day operations of things, everyone knows kind of that they come to me for the decisions.
Come to me so much.
They wouldn't come to you, yeah.
But I think we've definitely had our, it's good to talk about what we were like to now. I think it's really healthy now. I think we've also learned to communicate much better. And I think the biggest thing about communication is that you actually have to actively learn how to do it and actively learn how to change your style, because what we were like 20 years ago, we're completely different now. And you have to learn to adapt and grow and be better at communication, which is often letting go of our ego and need to be right and we're the boss and tackling everything together. We've actually learned to create better boundaries around in communication as well. So time management is often tricky for couples in business, because you are competing for time together and you can make a lot of allowances for leaving early for kids stuff and home life. And that's quite positive. Like, there's lots of positives around this, because it's meant for us that we're always there for our kids, and we always have been because we do that tag team. But there are some frustrations around that competing for time, where I've got stuff to do and you've got stuff to do. So how do we work together so that we can both get that done properly?
Yeah, I actually think time management is a positive for a couple in the business rather than like a solo business owner, because often with a solo business owner, their spouse doesn't have an appreciation for the business. And so, you know, the solo business owner might be working long hours and all that kind of stuff, including at home, and there'd be some tensions there. But I think in our situation, it's like we have an appreciation for what each other's doing in the business and how much time it takes, and we've really learned to work around that and give each other space and time to do that. And so it's been, and made each other accountable, like we mentioned earlier about you shouldn't be on the computer now, it's family time. And so you should really use your spouse as someone who can keep you accountable to your to managing your time, and also work with them together so that you're both getting a good amount of time in the business, both getting a good amount of time in the family, and just working together and keep, I mean, we're quite a planning type couple, aren't we? So that works for us really well, when being able to keep each other accountable.
Yeah, time management can be tricky working from home when the kids are home as well. Like if it's school holidays, I find that's my biggest frustration, because I feel like you're able to go to the office and get your work done and come home, but I'm still working from home, so I haven't quite got the time, the quality time that I've wanted to get the work that I feel is important to get done. And so we often have that agreement over the school holidays, is that you, if I need that space, a good few hours of uninterrupted time, you'll take the kids.
Yeah.
You'll take them out, or you'll do something to give me that space. And for me, sometimes I actually just need to get up early, like it might be setting the alarm at 5:30 on a school holiday morning, so that I can get up, smash out some work for a couple of hours before the kids are up. You know, we all have the same amount of time in the day. It's what we do with it. And I think it's easy to get really frustrated and not feel like anything's getting done, especially over school holidays. A conventional business model, there is that challenge of not appreciating how much time it takes to actually get work done, whereas as a couple in business, we can go, okay, I understand that's going to be a really time consuming job for you, so I'm here to support you for that and or help you with it.
I think everyone struggles with time management, whoever you are, right? Mm-hmm. And so, but I really think in a couple, you can really make each other accountable to getting things done.
Yeah. The negative to that can be if you've given, you're giving a job to the other person to say, can you say, for example, can you get this done by the end of the week? And I'm like, yep, but I don't get it done because I've mismanaged my time and my excuses will be, I've been busy with the kids or something. So it's like it's hard for you to argue that.
Well, I'll have a good argument.
I'm sure you will. Yeah. And I'll have mine.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's talk about leadership, because we're in a couple business model. We're leading together. And it can be hard to let one partner lead because you might have both different leadership styles. You're both passionate. You're both emotionally, financially everything invested in your business. And there can be that conflict, especially if you've got different values or leadership styles. Sort of how do you lead together positively?
Yeah, I mean, and that's another thing in the early days we really did struggle with, because we're both very opinionated and we want to get our points across and we want to be heard and we want to do what we want to do.
Oh my gosh. We sound awful when you say that.
But we've learned to work with that over time, haven't we?
Yeah.
And have an appreciation for each other's skills and know what each other wants.
I think too, we have different standards, which is very true. We have different standards and ways that we approach things. I'm very detailed and I like everything perfect straight away, and you're a bit relaxed and laissez-faire. So we often have these frustrations of, you know, you want to take the easy way and I want more detail sometimes. And you can see how as a couple in business, it's easy to sabotage your business when you don't grasp how to be good leaders together.
Yeah. And just taking into account, like, I know you're the details person. So if I come to you with something, I'll make sure that I've got all the details and I've got all the, the T's crossed and the dots. Yeah, you know what I mean. So that's what I go to you with, right? And, you know, I'm a bit more of a big picture person. So when you come to me,
with the small details.
You try not to come to me with like small details because that kind of frustrates me a bit. So it's learning to work together and knowing what each other wants. At the same time, we both need that common vision for the business. That is so important, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like we know where we're heading because we're heading there together. And so if we know that, then that's what counts. Mm-hmm. When we going forward.
Yeah. And with that conventional business model, in that leadership style, there probably is more of that one chain of command. Like you focus on that business leadership only. We're not bringing in that personal side of things and that emotion. Often they will get support that is separate from the business. Mm-hmm. and we're in it together and we're tackling through some of those things. Maybe in that conventional business model, the tasks of leadership tasks are more clear, where again, our lines are a bit more blurred and it's coming together and actually having that combined vision, which is good for any business model, but for us especially, having that shared vision and understanding each other's leadership styles, which you talked about. And I think having even personality tests and stuff are really good to understand.
Yeah, understand how each other works. It's definitely, that's always helped us. We've had a few of those over the years, haven't we?
Mm. So let's just give an example, because we're talking about this as a leadership, what that would look like in our business. So in our business, Organic Angels, like we've had these discussions before about how would we expand the business, and just say this is as an example, not that we're doing this, but just to say it's an example. Scott was really, really driven to franchise our model and take Organic Angels all over Australia. And I'm, on the other hand, I don't have that vision for the business. I look at that and go, that's too much work. That takes me away from the kids too much. That will just completely overcome our lifestyle that we're trying to live. And so you can see like that's a big decision and that's a sort of a big leadership decision. But you can see how it's so easy to probably sabotage the growth of your business if you're not prepared to go all the way together. And for this example, it might be, well, we just have to compromise. Maybe it's you go, okay, well, we're not going to do that.
Yeah, that's what it was like. It was, this is an area of growth. Like this would really grow the business by you know, franchising it out. But the offset of that was that there was, it would have been a lot of hard work, which you weren't prepared to do. And from my point of view, it's like, well, yeah, we're in this together. I don't want to do it on my own. And you didn't want to do it. So it's a really good example, because it's kind of like, well, if we're in this together and you don't want to do this, which is a massive part of the business, then we're not going to do it. We'll just find something else. We'll find other growth areas, which we've found, you know.
Yeah, we found other ways.
Just by operating within our state. And so that's what's worked for us.
But that's not to say down the line, if that's what we did decide to do, I would be able to lead in that decision with you if we also had, this is where bringing other people into the business can really be beneficial. So you're not doing it solely alone. It's like we would have that support, because I feel like, you know, some of those big decisions would overshadow like our relationship and our marriage, which is for me more important than business.
That's right. And I think it definitely would. If I ended up trying to do it on my own,
I'd never see you.
You'd never see me. It'd be a lot of resentment. And you got to decide what's most important in your life.
So leadership and compromise is really important. Coming to the end of this episode, we hope that you actually got a lot out of it and you were able to see some clear differences from that couple-led business model to that conventional business model. There are definitely more positives and there's definitely challenges, but there's no right or wrong. I think the more that you adopt the model as a couple and flow from that area rather than trying to do it in that traditional way, it's a lot more easier and it flows a lot better.
Yeah, it can work for definitely.
We've got all of the show notes over at our website at soulmatesinbusiness.com, and we'd encourage you just to have a conversation this week with your partner about what really stood out for you in this conversation and where maybe in your communication or your leadership or boundaries, like where do you think you could shift things, talk about things, and just get a greater awareness around it, which helps you lead you together in your business and your marriage, and talk about your feelings around this topic. You may have felt that you've been operating in a way that it's not flowing and working for you. How could you change that to that more your couple-led business model?
I just want to also, as we finish, just want to thank everyone for all the great reviews we've been receiving. We've had so much positive feedback, so thanks so much for that. We're really happy that that's the case. And if you haven't given us a review and 5 stars, we'd love you to do that. It really helps to promote the podcast on the Apple app and the Google app. We'd love to connect with you in other ways, which you can reach us on Facebook and Instagram, and you can also email us hello@soulmatesinbusiness.com. Visit our website as well. We've got a free download for you on our website, soulmatesinbusiness.com, which is
How to Thrive in Your Business and Marriage Together. It's just a little ebook which shares about how we overcame a really tricky time in our marriage and business and how we found that purpose again and what that actually looked like and how that made a huge difference. And we believe that's really applicable to any couple in business. So if you subscribe to our newsletter, that you get that free ebook, and that's a great read.
Great.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.